It's a great day to be alive.
That's better.
You know, people have been after me for a number of years now to write a book, which I am not about to do. I'm going to let them mess it up after I'm dead. I'm like the fellow said, just give me the facts, I'll mess them up myself. But lately, I have had some real stirrings on the inside. And for the first time in my life, I've wanted to write a book. What I would write would be the conclusions that I have reached after 53 years of preaching around this world. And I have preached Christ on every continent, to every major culture in the world, every state in the Union. And I've reached some conclusions. I have crisscrossed this United States heavily for 45 years. Last year, I was inside of over 100 Assembly of God churches. And most of them, good-sized churches. And I've reached some conclusions. I have preached for years in our Bible colleges, and I've watched a lot of transitions. No more than some of you have. I have just seen it, perhaps, on a little wider scale. I have watched us sneak around and go back and pick up some of the things that we separated ourselves from in the beginning of this movement. Our fathers were a separated people. They weren't despised because they were Pentecostal. Now, I hear a lot about, we were persecuted because we spoke in tongues. That is not why they were persecuted. They were persecuted because they separated themselves. That's why they were persecuted. Because they would not do the things that nominal Christianity was in the habit of doing. In manner of dress, the manner of the services, where our people were taught to let the Spirit have His way. You see, Pentecost was a cry against nominalism and even tradition. It was when people allowed the Holy Spirit to do His work. And none of us ever have led anybody to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can lead a man to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit. We were taught not to use the Holy Spirit, which we have floated into today. We were taught that the Holy Spirit used us as long as we were clean. That's what we were taught. That none of us were good, only He was good. And the conclusions I have reached are, and I don't know if you're even interested, and I risk, at my age, I risk a lot of things when I talk like this, because I don't have to do it. But I am compelled, and the older I get, the more the compulsion reigns in me to speak out against the things that I feel are robbing us of revival. And when I hear people talk of revival today, they are not talking about revival. Revival is when sinners get saved. And people are set free from darkness and demons, then you got revival. What we're talking about, 90% of our people that talk about revival, you go into a church, the first thing they say to you, we need a revival. They're not talking about the Great Commission. They are talking about us. We need a revival. That's what they're saying. And that is not revival. What we're actually talking about is survival. Are you with me? And I didn't intend to say this morning. I haven't got to my message yet. But hearing Brother Lambert preach last night on Pentecost, God, that is our message. It's always been our message, but we're losing it by default. We have allowed everything that comes down the pike to veer us off until our sails are not holding the wind. And when your sails don't hold the wind, you have a tendency to spin. You're still in the water. You're still moving, but you're not going anywhere. Then we weigh anchor. Anchors that slip. And I covet our Pentecostal experience. Half the churches I preach in on Sunday morning, if you stuck your head in the door and said, boo, half of them would drop off of their seats. Somebody said that somebody died in one of our Sunday morning services, and they called for the paramedics and the ambulances, and they came rushing in on the double and carried out half of that congregation. But I am concerned. I have been preaching in our Bible colleges for years. I used to do their spiritual life week. And I actually quit doing them. Because I got tired going into a college where 2/3 of your students could care less whether there's a move of God or not. Don't care whether they go to chapel or not. I lived in Springfield, Missouri for 18 years, and I watched hundreds of students that never even went to church on Sunday and were not compelled to. Don't give me that stuff. I know what's going on. There's a few things I don't know. They had to burn a schoolhouse down to get me out of third grade, buddy. But this Pentecostal movement, I know. That's all I know. That's all I know. And I know what it was, and I know what it is. And I know what we could be. And I've reached a conclusion. Are we majoring, minoring, or just dabbling? Got to see the look on your faces. No, I'm concerned. Some years ago, we did a taxonomy on all of our Bible colleges in the world to find out how near the original reason for being that college was. To find out, the taxonomy's still there. Anybody wants to read it, you can read it. It's at the grad school. Every one of our documents in our Bible colleges read like this. This college was founded to train, equip, and send forth pastors, missionaries, evangelists, period. That's it, period, man. Period. Liberal arts, a little remedial English, and a few other things were auxiliary functions. Examine it today. And that taxonomy says that our colleges are only within 50% of our original reason for being. Then we wonder where in the world we're going. Our young men are being taught by men that couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper sack. Being taught missions by people that haven't been across the street. And what used to be auxiliary functions have now moved in and become our reason for being. And we have sat here and allowed them to do it. You see, I can say that because it is a God's truth. When I went to Bible school, if you had 100 boys, you had 100 preachers. That's all they went to Bible school for. Now, if you got 1,000 kids, you got 700 of them that are never be interested in preaching the gospel. And we say they are all in the ministry. When I grew up in this Pentecostal movement, when they said you were in the ministry, you were a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist. Now you are a church secretary, a nurse, a school teacher, or something else, and you're in the ministry. How to win friends and influence people. And what once we allowed the Holy Spirit to do, we have now taken over. Then we wonder why we don't have Pentecost. I remember the day when we didn't have to tell people, stand up, raise your hand. Let's all join hands and praise the Lord. I get so tired of that. Honest to God, I ask myself in service after service, God, let somebody just stand up and say hallelujah without being told. Amen. Let somebody say, thank God I'm saved. Amen. Let somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just let somebody do it. Without saying, let's turn around and shake hands. I go out to the Far East once or twice a year. I used to go through Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, Bangkok. I suppose I've been going through there for 30 years. And I used to preach to a few hundred Chinese. But now when I go to Singapore, I can be preaching to 5,000 Chinese in any given service. Those Chinese will stand up. Nobody says stand up. I have nothing against holding hands. I don't see any virtue in it, but I don't mind. I just love to get a hold of a sweaty palm when I'm trying to worship and get my mind on God. Now, don't quit it. Don't quit it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And we do it because everybody does it, and that's the thing to do. But I'm concerned. I don't know. Maybe I'm out in the left field by myself. I can tell you the words that have gone out. No, I started to tell you about Singapore. Those Chinese will stand up and praise God for an hour. You've got to ring a bell to get them stopped. And nobody tells them to. Nobody tells them to. Nobody tells them to. Dear God, when are we going to do something on our own? Amen? Without saying, hello, hello. God, I remember hearing men preach. David McDowell, the Prince of Preachers. I remember one night in the old Tonawanda Avenue Church in Buffalo, New York, he's preaching on, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings as eagles, and the people got up on top of the chairs, waved their hands, they were ready to go. Amen? In those years, they didn't clap their hands, they shouted you down. And you just waited till the people stopped shouting, then you started to preach again. Amen? And the beautiful part of it was, you didn't tell anybody to do it. They just did it. Because we had to depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember the camp meetings with the old straw ticks. And the ragged tents. I remember one night in an old ragged tent, Nimrod Park out of New York City was preaching. And we were singing, oh, it's all over me. And it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Oh, keeping. We went on for an hour. And suddenly there was a storm came up, and there we were singing, oh, it's all over me, and whop, the tent was gone, and we were standing in the rain singing, it's all over me. Woo! And nobody said, oh, the devil's persecuting us. They said, hallelujah, we must be right. The devil's trying to kill us. Oh, hallelujah. Tell me about it. I know the words that have gone out of our preaching vocabulary. How long has it been since you heard a preacher preach on hell fire? Man, I heard men preach on hell fire until they dangled you right over hell. You could smell the brimstone. You don't hear that anymore. And I risk all 53 years of my ministry preaching like this. But I don't care. I am too old now to impress anybody, and I'm sure not trying to prove anything. All I'm doing is testifying. Amen. Amen and amen. Woo! I'm still not looking for a place to preach. I still turn down 20 calls for everyone I accept. I'm in good shape. Don't worry about me. I'm going to make it because I belong to the only thing that's going to make it, mister. When the stars have fallen from their moorings, when the earth, like a giant ember now, begins to cool off, when the nations of the world have been forgotten, when the pomp and the stance and the glory of materialism is all wiped away and the banks and the stocks and the bonds and the universities are gone, there is one thing that will remain and it will have the stamp of eternity upon it, the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It will endure. It will endure. It will not die. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah for the church. Thank God 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 for the church. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hukalabarandalabasanda. Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God for the church. Thank God, thank God. Oh, yes. 'Tis a glorious church, washed in the blood. Oh, 'tis a glory without spot. Washed in the blood. Sing it. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood of... Oh, sing it now. 'Tis a glory. Without spot or wrinkle, it's washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, 'tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hikarabarandalabasanda. Oh, thank God for the church. 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 Oh, Karabarandalabasiliandalabasanda. Oh, Karabarandalabasiliandalabasanda. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the fountain. Thank God for the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the hope. Oh, hallelujah.
a hope that is steadfast, unmovable. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Oh, yes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Sing it now. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. And we shall see the King when He comes. Sing it now. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Yes, yes. Coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. Give me a right key. Give me a right key. For He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, karabarandalabasanda. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming. Let's get a key, man. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when He... There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. Oh, we shall see the King when He... Sing it now. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King. Oh, we shall see the King when He comes. For He's coming. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King. Sing it now. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. Hallelujah. And we'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King. Yes, yes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He karabarandalabasana. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Oh, hallelujah. Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. That's too low. We wear a crown. Do you know what? Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Oh, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new. Sing it now. Wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for Pentecost. Pentecost, let it be born, reborn in our hearts. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Try to get that one in the right key. Oh, God, help us. You see, we don't even have Pentecostal musicians anymore. God, they don't know beans from donuts when it comes to getting a key to sing an honest-to-God song. Father, help us. Yes. That's a little low. It's in two flats, isn't it? To the old rugged cross I will live. Do you mean that? Gladly bears too low. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, and his glory forever I'll share. Sing it now. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Yes, I will. Till my trophies at last I lay down. Then I will cling to the old rugged cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And exchange it someday for a crown. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, karabaranda labasanda. Oh, karabaranda labasanda. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for drawing back. Forgive us, Lord, for stopping the fight. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Help us. Help us to walk all the way back to Calvary. All the way back to Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. To that old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday. Oh, hallelujah, to my home far away. And his glory forever I'll share. Oh, Father, lead us back to Calvary. Lead us back to the fountain open in the house of David. Lead us back, oh God, to the altar, to the fire on the altar. Oh, God, lead us back. Lead us back, oh God, to the blessing. Lead us back, oh God, to the reality of sin. Lead us back to the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Yes. We love you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I need thee. Oh. Do you really understand that this morning? 3 hours. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to yes, I need God. Walk among your people this morning. Wrap your arms around your people this morning. Wrap your arms, oh God, around your preachers this morning. Wrap your arms around your Pentecostal preachers this morning. Oh Lamb of God, let be reborn in our hearts a new joy, a new thirst, a new holiness, a new righteousness. Oh God, let it be born in our hearts today anew. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wrap your arms around your missionaries, around your evangelists, around your pastors, around your deacons this morning. Oh God, wrap your arms around them and draw them close. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For in thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Oh, hallelujah. What a day. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day. Oh, that will be. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day. Oh, that will be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Come in thy strength and thy power. Oh, come, Father. Come in thine own gentle way. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Hallelujah. Oh, come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Oh, come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Yes, come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Oh, come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Oh, yes. Oh, come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Oh, how I love thee. He kalabarandalabasane. Father, I love you this morning. For in thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There is nothing good in us. But we come and stand at your feet. We lay ourselves upon the altar. Oh, hallelujah. Love me, then I'll never forsake. Do you mean that this morning? Are you singing that from your heart? Him I'll never forsake. Hallelujah. Because he first loved me. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hokarabarandalabasanda. Hokarabarandalabasanda. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Hallelujah. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, something happened. And now, oh, I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Yes, yes, yes. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Shackled with a heavy burden. Oh, hallelujah. On. Oh, yes. Yes. Just touch me. Hallelujah. And now. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Yes, yes, yes. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole.
The person hating me, that's a devil. I'm going to tell you one thing, buddy. I've lived long enough to know the difference between God and the devil. And I've learned there are no gray areas. Either it's God or it's a devil. And the devil doesn't want to kill us. Forget that. I hear people say, well, the devil's trying to kill. He's not trying to kill you. If he does, as I said yesterday, the party's over. He wants to bug you. He wants to do with you what he did with Samson. Make us weak. He doesn't want the church to be destroyed. He just wants the church to be useless. He didn't kill Samson. He made him weak. And for, let me finish what I started to say. I'll preach what I was going to preach tomorrow, if the Lord lets me. But I mentioned the words that went out of our preaching vocabulary. Hellfire was one of them. I'll tell you another one, brethren. Righteousness. And when you quit preaching righteousness, don't expect righteous people. I have some of the sermons yet. Because I was brought up under great preachers.
Charles S. Price, P.C. Nelson, A.G. Ward, John Wright Follett, David McDowell, Ernest Williams, Robert Brown. Those men were all great, mighty preachers. And when they preached, something happened. And I remember the sermons that they used to preach on righteousness. Make you walk out of church and say, God, help me to live a righteous life. Amen. We weren't entertained. You see, today we're entertained so much. You see, God allowed me to be a missionary for 40 years. I put 40 straight years in missions around this world. God has been good to me. And why I'm still alive, I don't know. Because half the men I started out with are dead. Let me tell you, younger fellows, something. God doesn't multiply anything until you give it to Him. You give Him your strength, He'll multiply your strength. And when you get old, you can say with David and Greenaway, I was old, I was young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've had my back broken, lung punctured, paralyzed. I've had chronic malaria for years, black water fever in 46. I've had amoeba, the dreaded amoeba, 5 times. I've had a colon operation. I've had rheumatoid arthritis until my hands were like that. They took out my duodenal stomach. I'm hooked straight up. Took out my gallbladder. It's amazing what a man can live with what's left. I've got 16 inches of garden hose in my chest, bypass surgery. And every time something happened to me, they say, he's going to die now. Half of them are dead. And my superintendent can vouch, a few years back, when I was wearing dark glasses to keep my eyes from screening, and when I was twisted and going down the tubes with rheumatoid arthritis. Do you remember, brother? I love this man. This man is, in my book, one of the few Pentecostal preachers that's still hanging around. I mean, that can stomp down preach Pentecost. And he stirred me last night. I think you can tell. And I was going down the tube. And I must ask the organist and the pianist to please forgive me. You know, but I get so tired in our services. God, nobody can play anything. I was in a church recently and I was trying to have a commitment service. And neither the pianist nor the organist knew how to play Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow. Never heard of it. I said, well, let's try I Surrender All. They thought I was speaking Chinese. I gave up. But I really didn't mean to be hard on you. I love you too much. God help you. God help you. You have to get anointed to follow that. None of this little tinkle, you know, you got to get anointed to follow that. And I remember when they called me in and they said, Mr. Greenaway, we can't help you anymore. I said, you haven't helped me up to now, so don't worry about it. They were draining my joints and packing them with massive doses of cortisone. Your younger fellas, don't worry. I'm going to pop off one of these days, and my generation will be gone. I was preaching in Central Bible College some years ago, and a young fellow followed me out after the service, and he said, Greenaway, you brethren better make the next few years good, because we're going to take this movement. I said, sit down. I want to talk to you. So we sat down. I said, that was a stupid remark. But I said, God forgives us for stupidity. I said, I'm going to tell you something, son. You're not taking anything from me. Nothing. I said, but I'll tell you what. My generation is going to pop off and we're going to be gone. You're not going to take, you're going to have it. Whether you want it or not, you got it. You're it. Amen? I said, now, son, the difference between you and me is I've proven what I can do with it. Woo! He said, oh, he cried, you know. I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to fine you for that stupid remark. I said, once a week, you've got to come to my office. He said, I'll be there. And he came in once a week. Today, that boy's on the mission field doing a mighty work for God. Amen? You got to help people. Amen? We're ignoring people. We ought to be helping them. Amen? Tell them the God's truth. I walked out of that clinic with that printout in my hand, went home and got Mary. Started riding around the city, came to a cafeteria, which I never did go in before. But I got out and we went in, got a little food sitting there in the middle of that restaurant, trying to eat. Boy, it was dark. I looked across at Mary and I said, baby, this is the darkest tunnel I've ever seen. There's no light. And I was so upset. I've always had a strong body. God, I came from men that were strong. Here I am with this rheumatoid arthritis just squeezing the life out of me. Every joint in me was screaming. I was a field director. I was traveling 300,000 miles a year, taking care of 300 missionaries and 3,000 national workers in 27 Bible schools and 2 colleges, preaching 250 times a year and going through hell. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest frustration of the church this morning is sitting around waiting for ships to come in you've never sent out. Mary looked across the table at me and said, Charles, we've cast our bread on the waters. Said, we've done everything God's asked us to do. We've gone everywhere. We've lived every way you can live. She said, Charles, we must wait for the bread to come back. And in the door came a little lady, horribly twisted with arthritis. Rides on a little battery-powered cart. Every joint in her body's twisted out of shape. And she saw me. And she came over, and her husband put her in a chair beside me, and she looked up with that precious little face. And she said, Brother Greenaway, I got news for you. I'm so glad I met you today. I said, what is it? I said, it better be good news. I've had all the bad news I can stand. She said, God's going to heal you. And she reached out with those little gnarled hands of hers and got a hold of mine and laid them on her shoulder and began to pray. And we all prayed. And that's a Bible Belt, and people around us began to pray. They didn't know what we were praying for, but they thought they better get in on it, so they were praying. We sat there for 10 minutes, and I got up to pay my bill. To discover I didn't have to pull myself up And somewhere between that tabletop and that cash register, God Almighty healed me. Oh, hallelujah. He healed me. Healed me and set me free. I wanted to throw Mary up in the air. I wanted to run up and down Battlefield Road pushing cars over. I could make a fist, which I hadn't done in a couple of years, a real fist. I could do that, which I hadn't done in several years. And I want you to know, if those are arthritic hands, then you're all Chinese. You look at them. I want to see any one of you, after you've been through what this old body's been through. I've been kicked around, but mine eyes have seen His glory too. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you another word that's gone out of our vocabulary. Holiness. You don't hear the word holiness anymore. We're scared to death to use the word holiness. But He said, without holiness, no man shall see God. Amen. You see, it's words like hellfire, righteousness, holiness. Another word we don't use. It's a naughty word with us. Sanctification. We're scared to death of it. But we're supposed to be sanctified, holy. Amen. You know why we don't use those words anymore? And I'll tell you another word that's rare anymore. Repentance. You don't hear repent. All we hear is hurting. Let's go to a seminar and get rid of our hurt. Let's go hear some dear brother that hasn't been across the street tell you how to get rid of your troubles. I'll tell you how to get rid of them. You get rid of them on your knees. And in the book, that's how you get rid of them. But you know why you don't hear righteousness, holiness, sanctification, hellfire, repentance? Do you know why we don't use those words? Because those are words of conviction. And we want everybody to be comfortable in our churches. And those words upset them. So much sometimes that they'll get saved. If you'll use them. What in the name of heavens, the difference between this generation and mine? We all come by the way of the cross. Every man has to go to the cross either to accept it or reject it. At the cross, all men are on level ground. But we're living beyond the cross. We're not preaching the cross. We're preaching the good life. We're preaching no pain, no hurt. And then we're dumb enough to say, if you got pains or hurt, you're sinning. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Read the book. When men preach like that, they don't know that book. Amen. They're preaching out of something they read that some other idiot wrote. It's in the book, man. Somebody wanted me to go to a seminar, a marriage encounter. I said, you're crazy. I said, I've been married to the same woman 48 years. It's been an encounter every day. But we don't run off and get a divorce or have to go to bug some counselor. A Pentecostal Assemblies of God counselor told my precious daughter, why don't you and your husband get a divorce? And I had prayed and talked to those kids. I begged on my knees, please, go to this man. He'll help you. And he split that family up. never to be back together again. Don't give me that stuff that our help is in seminars, our help is in books, our help is where it has always been. Hallelujah. In that book, on our knees. Amen. That's where our help cometh from, the Lord. Amen. I look beyond the hills from whence cometh my help, beyond the books, beyond the seminars. Amen. Woo! I look beyond it all. You tell me about it. Don't you argue with me till you find out what I've been through. Especially don't argue with me while I'm on my feet. You know, I used to pull a few punches. I don't anymore. God, we can fool around with this stuff and let our generation go to hell. Our young preachers are looking to us for some help. Amen. For some courage, for strength. Amen. And the very things they need, we're not giving them. We're encouraging them to play and not to pray. Somebody said, Greenaway, why are we in the mess we're in with our churches full of shepherding? Kingdom now. Word of knowledge. I'm moving again. We've moved 35 times in 48 years. I told Mary, I said, I'm moving that junk one more time. Somebody said, where are you moving? I don't know. I said, when the truck driver pulls up, I'll ask him for the word of knowledge. How did we get into this mess? How did we take are you with me? How did we take salvation, baptism, healing, the second coming, and mess it up the way we have? Until you don't know whether you're saved until somebody prophesies over you. Dumbest thing I ever heard. I told you about my buddy that got in the latter rain movement. When everybody was, you didn't wear your necktie in the morning till your wife prophesied. Says, wear that one. My buddy joined. I mean, he was in big. As a matter of fact, he was an associate to Madam Beale in Detroit. That's how close he was to it. So 6 months later, I saw him right after Brother Prodson. And I said, how's it going, Jake? Well, he said, I quit that foolishness. I said, you did, Jake. I hope you didn't blaspheme. Nah, he said, I'll tell you what happened. He said, in a big meeting one night, he said, I was walking back and forth, praising the Lord, and this boy is a godly boy. I mean, he's godly. And he said, they were around my wife prophesying. They didn't know she was my wife. And they were calling her to China. And he said, they came over and laid their hands on me and called me to Africa. He said, my God. He said, I got off of that wagon fast. I knew God wasn't in me going to Africa and my wife to China. How did we mess it up? It's amazing. I keep asking myself, how in the world we've thrown our songbooks away, and with it we've thrown half of our theology. Our theology was in those songs. I surrender all. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true.
That's theology, man. Now we're singing, I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. That's what we're singing. The marching songs are gone. We used to sing, keep me true. Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. And we'd all picture ourselves in the race. There are victories to be won. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Oh, man, we were militant. Now we settle for the little I'm forever blowing bubbles. I was in a church recently full of heavy metal. God, they were bouncing it off the wall. I got up and told them, I said, you know why they call that heavy metal? It always sounds like the lead singer just dropped an anvil on his foot. One night I was in a church and the choir was singing, oh, where is God? 15 minutes, they never did find God. They dragged that thing down the middle around the church, back in through the chimney. And it wound up on a doleful, oh, where is God? I felt like saying the same thing, only I felt like saying, oh, where is the God of Elijah? Amen. Amen. We've got every other kind of a God, but I want to see the God of Elijah. Amen. Where is the God of Elijah? Amen. I know where he is. He's here. He's in your heart. He's wherever you want him. Amen. If you want him, he's there. Now, I'm going to tell you how we got into this mess. Then I'm going to let you go. Don't worry. You're going to eat. That's a problem now. You know, you know, everybody's got a date with Wendy's before church starts. God, anymore, I have one prayer. God, let something happen that's not in the bulletin this morning. Just scare the living daylights out of them. But I'll tell you how we got into this mess. Because we simply substituted the anointing. You see, when God comes down like he has this morning in our midst, that's an anointing. Amen? That's because you're willing to throw your sermon out the window. That's because people are willing to stand up without being told. I saw several people in here this morning that raised their hands that weren't told. And I felt like that was a great victory. I was like James Hennessy when he went to that church down there, you both know, for a little while. And I said, how you doing, Jim? He said, I'm doing fine. He said, I've got 100% increase. I said, how is that? He said, when I came here, there was one person that would clap their hands. Now I got two. I remember what Jesse Smith used to say. He used to say, I said, Jesse, how are you doing? When I'd come home on furlough. Great preacher he was. He's dead now, wasn't he? Wasn't he? He was a fan. He was in Alabama too. And I said, Jesse, how's your church going? He said, fine. Fine, he said, never better. He said, this church is dying slower than anyone I ever pastored. How did we get into this mess? We lost the anointing. I watch a little bit of TV, not much. I've reached a conclusion. I don't know now whether TV is a curse or a blessing. Because, my God, whoever's on TV is shaping the minds of our people.
They're not being shaped in Sunday morning services like it used to be. They're being shaped by what they're seeing on TV. And never in the history of the world has there been as much manipulation in the kingdom of God as there is today. This is the generation of Jacob you preach about. Jacob was a sure planner. You see, in this Pentecostal movement, I'm Isaac.
Thank God.
See, I knew the Abrahams of this movement. But we got a bunch of Jacobs now. I was in a meeting, and the man said to me, he came up to me after the service, he said, "Oh, I'm a catcher, Brother Greenham, I'm a catcher." I said, "What team do you play for?" "Oh," he said, "I don't play ball." I said, "Well, what do you catch?" He said, "I catch people." I could just see him fielding a heavy one. I said, "Sit down, that's interesting." He was an ordained catcher. First one I'd ever met. I said, "How do you catch these people?" "Well," he said, "I stand behind them, and when the evangelist prays for them and pushes them over, I catch them." Don't give me that stuff. I was at our general council in Oklahoma City last year, walking down those acres of booksellers and organ sellers and piano sellers and so on, packers and so on. And I saw these big jugs of scented, tinted anointing oil. Big jugs of it. And there would be a man there. There was always somebody there with a bottle of this stuff with a cork off, you know. And they'd give you a whiff of it as you went by. Anointing oil. You may not get healed, but you'd smell good. I walked down there the day before council was over, and there was a big sign that said, "Half price." Got to move it. I remember anointing an African one time that was dying, and all I had was a can of yellow axle grease. And God healed him. God healed him. I've anointed people with lard. Now we got to have scented, tinted anointing oil. Just a little dab will do you. This is the generation of Jacob. God chased him all over the hill. Let me tell you something. He's either following you, he's either leading you this morning, or he's following you. He leads us as long as we stay in the center of his divine order. But when we veer off, he changes positions. He's following you. Amen. When he said, "Lo, I am with you always," he didn't always say either the front or the back. Sometimes he's following you in the back. Every time he'd catch Jacob, Jacob would repent. "Oh, God, I'll be good." Next day, he's out selling used cars. That buzzard outwitted Laban out of all of his cattle. Old Jacob, we're selling everything under the sun. Boy, it's hard. It's hard to stay in the middle. It's hard to stay in the center of God's will today. There's voices screaming at us from every angle. Turn the radio on. The voices scream at you. Turn the TV on. And you sit there and you say, "My God." Somebody sits there and says, he's preaching to 2 million people. And he says, stops and says, "Hey, there's I see somebody with a pain in their ear." My God. 2 million people. You could say anywhere. And they got a pain. I could say, "Hey, I see somebody with a pain in the loin of their thigh." And somebody would be out there, the odds. And you know, it's a lot of precious people get into this. Now I'm bugging you. I'm going to let you go right now, but wait a minute. But God finally got Jacob. They wrestled all night. And if we get this movement on track, it'll be because we wrestle with the powers of hell and God Almighty. And one morning we win. God hauled back about dawn and whoop, Jacob won. Knocked his hip out of place. Jacob said, "Hey, don't hit me again." He said, "I've had it. Enough of surplanning, conniving." And he meant it this time. Isn't that precious? He meant it this time. Don't give up on this generation. God has never given up on a generation. And he's not about to give up on this one. Amen? And God said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob, the surplanter." God, I'm ashamed of my name. God said, "Lift up your head, buddy. From here on out, your name is no longer Jacob. It is Israel." Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May God help us. Help us that our name would be Israel and not Jacob. Amen. And God will help us. And when you lose the anointing, you lose conviction. Now here's where the problem lies. Conviction, nobody convicts anybody. No preacher preaches good enough to convict people. Only the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. And when you lose the anointing, which is the Spirit, when you lose that in the pulpit, you have lost conviction in the pew. And when you lose conviction, you lose automatically repentance. And nobody gets saved until they repent. Amen? You can pray for them until your eyes fall out. But unless they repent of their sins, there is no atonement. Now, I'll tell you, young fellas, it takes a little guts to preach like this. Because you're risking everything. But I figure, and I've helped a lot of young men. I took boys like David Grant, Sam Johnson, Wayne Francis. And I can go on naming the boys that I took years ago under my wing. Put them on their first missionary journeys. And watched them grow. They're all great preachers today. For the last 4 years, I've invested my life in the most precious commodity we have, our young men and women. Buddy, I love this generation. And I believe when Jacob got straightened out, he did as much as either Abraham or Isaac. Amen? And the young men, the young preachers of today, will do as much as any generation has ever done if they can separate themselves from the voices they're hearing. Now let me say one more thing in closing. Karl Marx, when he wrote his first book on communism in England, this was the foundation of communism. He said, if we can separate people from their heritage, we can do anything with them. If we can separate people from their history, we can do anything with them. And if the devil this morning can separate this generation from its roots, its Pentecostal heritage, he can do anything with them. Amen. Amen. Separate us from our heritage in Christ Jesus. Do you love him? Let's stand. Oh, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of your saving full mercy. More of his love you die for me. Yes, more, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of your saving fullness. More of his wondrous love for me. And everybody said, go in peace.